Hello there and welcome. Today is... What is today? Today is Friday, April the 14th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Lori London in Washington. Coming up, the U.S. drops the largest non-nuclear bomb on Afghanistan.
This was another very, very successful mission.
The passenger who was bloodied and dragged off a United Airlines flight is suing.
He did, in fact, suffer a significant concussion.
The U.S. Space Agency finds a new planet that might support life. Also ahead, the latest movies opening in U.S. theaters. It's all on today's International Edition. Well, a U.S. warplane dropped the largest bomb in America's arsenal on an Islamic State bunker complex in northeastern Afghanistan. It has implications not only in the fight against Islamic State, but for other potential aggressors in the world. President Donald Trump indicating the military strike had his full approval.
And what I do is I authorize my military. We have the greatest military in the world, and they've done a job as usual. So we have given them total authorization, and that's what they're doing. And frankly, that's why they've been so successful lately.
He dodged a question about the mission's goal, but hinted it may have been intended to send a forceful message to North Korea, which is rumored to be planning another nuclear weapons test shortly. VOA senior White House correspondent Pete Heinlein joins Jim Stevenson for more from the White House on Thursday's bombing.
It's undoubtedly a bomb that has the capability to do huge damage. It's called a GBU-43, and it's never been used in combat before. It's about 22,000 pounds, and it was dropped in Nangarhar province in a place where ISIS is known to have an underground base. They use a lot of tunnels and caves, and this bomb is designed to have maximum effect on that.
It sends a message to the terror group.
Yes, and interestingly, it comes just days after the first American soldier was killed in Afghanistan this year. An American Special Forces soldier died in Nangarhar province several days ago. President Trump was asked earlier at an event for first responders whether this was something he had ordered, and he said, in effect, that the military has carte blanche to do things like this. They have he gives general orders, and they decide exactly what they want to do.
This follows a strike on a Syrian airfield using multiple missiles.
59 okay. Tomahawk-guided missiles in that attack, which did quite a bit of damage to the Syrian Air Force, although pictures showed that it didn't damage the airstrip and some of the other facilities. The Tomahawk weapons, these Tomahawk missiles, are so precise that they can hit airplanes without damaging the runway.
But it comes against the backdrop as we're sending an armada off the waters of North Korea to send a message to Pyongyang.
Everybody's keeping their eyes on the Korean Peninsula over the next couple of days. Coming up is an anniversary of the birth of the first Kim Il-sung. And the North Koreans have a tradition of setting off military displays on that day. There's concern that they may, in this case, set off a nuclear device. And if so, that could trigger some kind of a response.
And we have seen some reports indicating that they indeed have moved some sort of a device into an area where they have conducted previous nuclear tests. So we'll have to keep an eye on that and what the U.S. response might be.
The U.S. response is we're keeping a very close eye on it so far. They're very circumspect at the Defense Department and here at the National Security Council, but they do have everything in place, including National Security Council sources are telling us the USS Ohio, a submarine that has some advanced submarine-launched Tomahawk missiles itself. So everybody's standing by with bated breath to see what the North Koreans do, because the U.S. military has shown itself over the past several days to be much more active than it has been in response to things like this over the past many years.
With regards to North Korea, President Trump has spoken twice with President Xi Jinping of China, once when they were meeting at Mar-a-Lago, and then again in a phone call recently. Mr. Trump has indicated that he's willing to go it alone to, quote, take care of the North Korean situation.
Yes, but he and President Xi seem to have reached agreement on a number of things, and among them is a deal that's becoming more and more clear each day, by which President Trump is going to work with President Xi to make sure the Chinese economy is strong in advance of the big party Congress this fall. And in exchange, President Xi will put pressure on the North Korean government and possibly might be willing to look the other way if the United States does something in response for an aggressive North Korean action.
That's VOA Senior White House Correspondent Pete Heinlein joining Jim Stevenson from the White House. Here are some of the stories we're following at voanews.com. Student activists spend spring break in D.C. fighting for the immigrant community. Donald Trump, in a fresh warning, says North Korea, quote, will be taken care of. Microsoft says the U.S. foreign intelligence surveillance requests have more than doubled. And the incidence of cancer increases among children worldwide. Find expanded coverage of these stories and more at voanews.com and on our VOA mobile app. This is International Edition. VOA's International Edition continues now as we turn to what's trending on social media. And for that, we're joined by VOA's Andrew Palchevsky. Hey, Andrew, what's going on?
Well, some big trending stories today, Lori, and we'll start with Enceladus. Now, this was a name, admittedly, I had not heard before today. But it is one of Saturn's moons, and NASA is reporting that there may be conditions to sustain life on Enceladus, specifically looking at plumes of hydrogen underneath Enceladus's icy crust. Underneath the crust, there's an ocean, and there are plumes of hydrogen coming up, which means the potential for life.
That's exciting.
It's very exciting, and there's a lot of people very excited on social media, a lot of space and science geeks that are really eagerly welcoming this news. They have said that they were looking millions of light years away, or, you know, however many far, far reaches of the corners of the universe to try to find life. And here it was right in our solar system the whole time, potentially. Now, there are the jokes, too, that they hope that whatever life forms they find, they run the solar system better than we have. And a lot of people asking, how soon can I send such and such a person there, particularly with people that maybe they're not best friends with. They want to send them off to live in Enceladus. So we will see, no doubt, more of this story as it develops on social media. A lot of people, you know, the scientific community is so large on social media. There's always a lot of interest in these stories.
Well, and stories like that, I think, even for non-science geeks, people get excited when they hear possible life on another planet.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Exactly. Yeah. You know, people who aren't interested in this stuff, they find this fascinating.
Yes.
And it's nice because social media, especially in places like Twitter where you only have 140 characters, you have to digest that information, distill it down. So it makes it easy for everyone to understand.
Cool. So what else is happening? What are people talking about besides life on other planets?
Well, life on this planet, Burger King is quite a transition from space to Burger King. They've released a new ad. It's a 15-second commercial where at the end the spokesperson says, "Okay, Google, what is the Whopper burger?" Now, when you play this ad, if you have a Google Home device, which is the thing you talk to, it says, "Okay, Google, shall tell me the weather or schedule an appointment." It'll start reading the Wikipedia entry for the Whopper. So it's the first instance that a commercial is interacted with these smart devices that you can talk to. Now, the problem with this is that the Google Home will read whatever is currently written on the Wikipedia entry. So people have been editing it so that it reads out funny things. For example, they edited it so it said the Whopper is the worst burger ever. They edited it so it said the Whopper is made of children.
Wow.
And they edited it, so they said the Whopper contains poison.
Oops.
Now, it took about 3 hours for Google to realize this and actually make changes to the Google Home software so that it no longer responds to that ad. Now, the question now is, was this a PR disaster because of all these fictitious Wikipedia entries, or, as other people are claiming, was it a PR success? Because we are all talking about this 15-second ad and watching it and reacting to it, where we may not have otherwise.
Right. Might not have been. Sometimes any publicity is good publicity.
Yes, and we'll see how many Whoppers get sold this month. If there's a marked increase in Whopper purchases, then I think we can say it was a success.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Andrew. You can follow him at APAL. We also invite you to follow the International Edition stream at VOA_IE. Well, a lawyer representing the man who was dragged off of a United Airlines flight earlier this week is speaking out for the first time since a video of the incident went viral worldwide. Thomas Demetrio says the airline has bullied passengers for a long time, and he will probably file a lawsuit on behalf of Dr. David Dow.
If you're going to eject a passenger, under no circumstances can it be done with unreasonable force or violence. That's the law.
Demetrio says Dow suffered a concussion, a broken nose, and lost teeth, and will likely file a lawsuit. As we just said, Dow's daughter, Crystal Pepper, says the incident has traumatized her family.
We were completely horrified and shocked at what had happened to my father when we learned of the incident. Seeing it on video made those emotions exacerbated.
United Airlines CEO Oscar Munoz has said he was ashamed when he saw the video and says the airline will refrain from forcibly removing passengers from future flights. It's been a long-standing custom for presidential candidates to release their tax returns for the public to see. But as with many things, Donald Trump did not disclose his taxes and took a different route. The decision has left, though, many to wonder why he won't do it. Here in America, tax filing day is usually on April 15th, and although this year it does fall on a Saturday, people will have until Monday to file. However, many Americans that Saturday will be holding demonstrations and rallies to make a statement to the president. Joining me now for more is Ben Wickler, Washington director for the progressive group Move On. Ben, thanks for being with us. President Trump says the American people really don't care about his taxes. So why the marches?
The American people overwhelmingly do care whether Trump releases his taxes. We released a poll today that found that 4 in 5 voters, 80%, including 64% of Republicans, agreed that Donald Trump should release his tax returns. Frankly, that's more Americans agreeing about something than you almost ever see in American politics. There's a consensus. If taxes should be released, we should know who's been paying Donald Trump. We should know who he owes money to, and we should, you know, find out why he's been hiding them for all this time. The American public has a right to know.
Well, it sounds like there are some big rallies to make a statement coming up this weekend on Tax Day.
On Saturday, thousands of people will be marching in more than 150 cities across the United States. There's another aspect of this, which is Donald Trump, you know, is talking about passing a giant tax cut that, at least according to the early draft plans, would result in a huge windfall to very rich people. So while we evaluate this, which is something that the American public roundly rejects, we should know how much he personally would benefit. So part of the idea of these tax marches is to send the message that we shouldn't be slashing taxes for billionaires while making cuts to programs that regular people depend on.
Do you have any idea of how many people will be participating in these rallies?
Well, I learned in November of 2016 to stop making predictions about the future. But we know that many thousands of people have RSVP'd on Facebook, and we expect, you know, thousands and thousands of people across the country.
I know there's one on the National Mall in Washington, D.C., I guess other major cities as well.
That's right. I'll be marching here in Washington, D.C. There'll be marches in every major city. I was just looking at the list. There'll be marches in Casper, Wyoming, in Wichita Falls, in Salt Lake City, Utah, in Coos Bay, Oregon, you know, all over the place there'll be marches. And you can go to taxmarch.org to find one.
But do you really expect this to change the president's mind?
One thing we know about Donald Trump is that he likes to watch TV, especially when the TV coverage is about him. We have the sense that he will be watching. If you remember after the inauguration, he couldn't stop talking about how big his crowds were because he was so upset by the Women's March. So we do think that this will get his attention. The other thing we know is that Congress has the ability to force Donald Trump to release his tax return. There's a discharge petition in the House of Representatives with 171 Democratic co-sponsors so far, and a couple of Republicans, that if that catches steam, Trump will have to show his taxes. There are also proposals in state legislatures that would prevent Donald Trump from getting on the ballot in 2020 unless he's released his tax returns. So if Donald Trump doesn't listen to the voice of the public and release his tax returns, his hand may be forced by other actors. And that's the way things can go in a democracy.
All right. We appreciate your perspective. Ben Wickler, Washington director of the progressive group MoveOn.org. Thanks for your time. You're listening to International Edition on VOA.
Hi, I'm Nikki Strong. You love music? How about Blake Shelton and Carrie Underwood? Or Merle Haggard and Loretta Lynn? Experience the best in country music on Country Hits USA. I bring you some country rock, outlaw, a little hillbilly, contemporary, and more, with a dash of entertainment news, too. So join me for Country Hits USA on VOA 1, the voice of America.
I'm Victor Beatty. Since 1942, the Voice of America has been a consistently reliable and authoritative source of news. Today, VOA remains committed to providing an accurate, objective, and comprehensive news product at the top of every hour, every day. We can be heard on your local affiliate or streamed on the web at voanews.com.
VOA's International Edition continues now. Well, as we talk to Vegas film critic Jeffrey K. Howard for the latest movies to hit U.S. theaters as we approach the weekend. Hey, Jeff. So we've got another installment of Fast and Furious.
Yeah, this is the eighth installment of the Fast and Furious franchise over 16 years now. And this one's called The Fate of the Furious. And if you remember the last movie, if you kind of keep the continuity going with these films, you know, Vin Diesel and Michelle Rodriguez's character got married. Dom and Letty's, the movie opens in Havana, and every one of these movies opens with a car chase and some sort of challenge. So the movie starts off as the adrenaline, you know, burst. And then we get to the plot of the movie, if we can even say that. Cypher, who is this internet hacker who wants to take over the Earth with a nuclear weapon, an electronic magnetic pulse device, played by Charlize Theron, she gets Dom, Vin Diesel, to do her bidding. And we don't know why. She shows up in Havana and says, look, you're going to work for me, you're going to help me steal this, or else. And so it's kind of a mystery the entire movie. But he's got to betray his family, which is the Fast and Furious racing crowd. Now bring in The Rock, who plays Luke Hobbs, who's the federal agent, also teaming up with Jason Statham, who's in jail from the last movie. They have to team up because Kurt Russell plays this unknown government official that puts them together to find Cypher, to find Charlize Theron. So that's, you know, kind of, you just forget about all that and enjoy the incredible special effects, the incredible action sequences. You go into these movies thinking to yourself, how are they going to top the last movie? And I'll be darned if they didn't top the last movie. The Rock, just to give you one example, there's a sequence where they're in this Russian camp up north, you know, near the North Pole, and there's a submarine they're trying to steal. Well, one of the sub's torpedoes gets launched onto land and is chasing our gang of guys in our cars. The Rock actually picks up a torpedo and steers it away from them. It's hysterical. You've got to see it. It's over-the-top action. It is the ultimate popcorn movie. I can't believe how much I was smiling and having a good time with it because I didn't like the last movie at all. But this one really redeems itself, and I just love The Rock. I just think he's the best in everything he does. So this is going to make a lot of money.
And sounds like you ate a lot of popcorn.
I don't eat popcorn, but a lot of people around me do. So I could tell as they're stuffing their face, they're having a good time.
And then we've got another one called Gifted. What's that all about?
Well, Gifted, this is going to surprise you because it stars Chris Evans. And mm-hmm. You know that name, right? He's Captain America, you know, in the Avengers movies. So he hangs up his Captain America shield and takes on a dramatic family role. He plays a single man raising a child prodigy, his young niece, Mary, played by McKenna Grace, in this coastal town in Florida. Now, she's a math genius, and she's, you know, only 7 years old, and he wants her to have a normal life because his sister, who's her daughter, she had an untimely end, and she was in the spotlight also as a math prodigy. So he doesn't want any of that for her. He wants a simple life. But, of course, the mother, played by Lindsay Duncan, has different plans for the granddaughter. And, along with Octavia Spencer, who helps Chris Evans figure out how to keep, Mary from being exploited, it's kind of a Lifetime kind of Hallmark kind of movie, but it's a really sweet family film. In this weekend of action, cars blowing up and everything, if you want to take the family to something, it's a really heartfelt movie, and I really enjoyed it.
All right, Jeffrey K. Howard, we always appreciate your advice. Find his full video movie reviews at VegasFilmCritic.com. Well, every night, the Inner Harbor in the eastern U.S. city of Baltimore, Maryland, glistens with an array of lights from the waterside restaurants and shops, creating lovely water reflections. But during the Light City Festival, illuminated sculptures and colorful interactive light displays add to the beauty along the waterfront. VOA's Deborah Block takes us along the Art Light Walk.
Artistic displays with lights, music, and innovative technologies line the waterfront of Baltimore's Inner Harbor. It took almost 3 weeks to put the exhibits in place.
Many of these installations are as much feats of engineering as they are creativity. It's really cool to see the art and the technology come together in such an amazing way.
And that includes communication gaps. The design began with the vision of artist Greg St. Pierre, who says he wanted people on both sides of this canal to introduce themselves through movement.
You record your name into a microphone. So I would say, hi, my name is Greg. And then when you enter the dance area, as you wave your right hand to the person on the other side, it plays back that clip. So any way you want to dance, it kind of remixes your own sound, your own voice to the person on the other side, and vice versa.
The illuminated sculptures are also part of the display.
One person's controlling one kind of shape that looks like kind of holes in the water, and the other person's kind of controlling things that are coming out of the water that reflect on it.
This couple tried to match the movements of the person across from them.
It's really interesting to just be out there totally exposed, but then also have this cool reaction with the light in the water.
Another crowd favorite is Our House, by Belgian artist Tom Dekivera. He uses more than 25 meters of fluorescent nylon ropes that are sensitive to colored floodlights to create striking geometrical patterns. The effect is mesmerizing. And so are the fireworks, which appropriately closed Baltimore's Light City Festival. Deborah Block, VOA News, Baltimore.
Well, a recent announcement by Jeff Cook, one-third of the legendary country group Alabama, has fans concerned and worried. He's recently revealed that he would no longer be touring with Alabama due to health reasons. Nikki Strong of VOA 1 joins International Edition's Sarah Williams with details.
So, Nikki, what happened?
Well, this week, Alabama Jeff Cook, Randy Owen, Teddy Gentry, they released a video statement that was posted on the Tennessean newspaper's website, where Jeff Cook, who is the group's guitarist and the fiddle player, as well as a singer, shared that he has Parkinson's disease, which is a disorder of the central nervous system that primarily impacts motor skills. So it has robbed him of a lot of his coordination. He says it impacts his balance. It causes tremors and stiffness. He was diagnosed 4 years ago. And he and the band have kept his diagnosis secret because he said he didn't want to burden anyone about his condition. And he said he's not calling it quits, per se, but, and this is a quote, he says, sometimes our bodies dictate what we have to do. And mine is telling me it's time to take a break and heal.
Well, there's no cure for Parkinson's.
No, not yet. You can manage some of the symptoms, but at this point, his has interfered with his capacity to tour. He said it has made it extremely frustrating to try and play guitar and fiddle or sing. Initially, he thought he had a pinched nerve, and his bandmates thought that he might have had a mild stroke. And then he went to the doctor and they said he had Parkinson's, and they've kept it quiet for about 4 years. A lot of people thought there were rumors that he had, was doing drugs and stuff, but it was actually the Parkinson's taking a toll on him.
Will the group still continue to perform?
They will. And even Teddy Gentry said, quote, we could hire 10 people, but we can't replace Jeff Cook. So he will make appearances when he's up to it. A third mic will always be on the stage for him. Other musicians will fill in on vocals and music, and Jeff will continue to record with them in the studio. It's hard for everyone, I can imagine, especially for the rest of the band, because they're like brothers. And Jeff has been a critical part of making Alabama one of the best-selling bands of all time. He even plays a pivotal role in how you experience them in concert, because when he gets to playing, you know, everybody stands up. You know, he gets the people dancing. So it's difficult. But despite how hard it is to deal with the news, at the end of his video statement, he says, "Life is good. And as long as you are breathing, there are no bad days." Aww. Yeah. And so you could see the statement in full from the band on our Facebook and Twitter pages at VOA One The Hits.
You can also hear the music of Alabama and more great country music legends on VOA One's Country Hits with Nikki Strong. Thanks a lot, Nikki.
You're welcome.
Oh, play me some mountain music like Grandma and Grandpa used to play. Then I'll float on down the river to Cajun Hideaway.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Join me and two advocates from the world of politics, public policy, or academia debating critical and controversial issues of our day, bringing depth, perspective, and insight to the world around us. You can listen to Encounter on Saturdays and Sundays. That's Encounter every Saturday and Sunday on the Voice of America.
Been listening to International Edition. That does it for today's show, but find us anytime at voanews.com. Thank you so much for joining us, and thanks to our director, Tracy Carter, and our engineer, Greg Burns. I'm Lori London in Washington. Have a great day.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
President Donald Trump recently hosted Chinese President Xi Jinping for a two-day meeting at the president's Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida. After talks with President Xi, President Trump called the relationship between the two men outstanding, with the potential to resolve many issues of concern. President Xi said, "We have engaged in deeper understanding and have built a trust, a preliminary working relationship and friendship." At a press briefing after the meetings to outline the issues discussed, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson said that President Trump emphasized to President Xi the need for China to take concrete steps to level the playing field for American workers, stressing repeatedly the need for reciprocal market access. The two leaders also discussed the urgency of the threat of North Korea's nuclear weapons program, reaffirming their commitment to a denuclearized Korean peninsula and to implementing UN Security Council resolutions. Both sides agreed to increase cooperation and work with the international community to peacefully resolve the issue. Mr. Tillerson noted that North Korea creates unique problems for the Chinese and that the United States is prepared to chart its own course if China is unable to coordinate with the United States in dealing with North Korea. Regional and maritime security was an additional area of candid discussion. President Trump, said Mr. Tillerson, noted the importance of adherence to international norms in the East and South China Seas and to previous statements on non-militarization. He also noted the importance of protecting human rights and other values deeply held by Americans. In order to spur progress on issues, the two sides agreed to establish a new high-level framework for negotiations. The U.S.-China Comprehensive Dialogue will have four pillars, Mr. Tillerson said: a diplomatic and security dialogue, a comprehensive economic dialogue, a law enforcement and cybersecurity dialogue, and a social and cultural issues dialogue. President Trump welcomed President Xi's invitation to travel to China for a state visit at a future date. The two leaders agreed to work together in the meantime to ensure a successful and results-filled visit. Their goal is to undertake an ambitious agenda for their bilateral relationship that will show progress and achieve meaningful results that will benefit the citizens of both countries.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
It's for...